You're listening to the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode number 62.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, hey, what's going on? Alex Pardo. So before we jump into the masterclass expert interview here, I want to tell you a little bit about Doug Faith, special guest we got on today. Doug is somebody that is at the top of his game, and the dude just really knows his stuff. Really cool guy, you know, young guy, and he's expecting a baby on the way. And just wanted to give you a little bit of background so you have context as to why you might want to listen to Doug in this upcoming masterclass here. Is first of all, Doug is a developer, somebody that, you know, he got started in this business years ago, and you know, he's developed everything from income housing, student housing, multifamily apartment buildings in the Philadelphia market. And, you know, he's received a lot of acclaim and attention, you know, by the national media. He was named to the Impact 100 list of top young entrepreneurs in the United States. He even received an award at the White House and also at the United Nations Bank of America Entrepreneurship Award. He's been featured on ABC News, Philadelphia Daily News, Bloomberg TV. I mean, so the guy's been out there. He's doing big things. And he, as a result of all this success, he started Legacy Capital LLC, which is a lending company. So that's actually one of the things that, you know, we're going to be getting into in the show here is, you know, I kind of drill Doug on private money, right? Not only the importance of private money in your business, but how do you attract private money lenders? Does he use, you know, a 15, 30 second elevator pitch, or what's kind of, you know, his approach to connect with these private lenders and get their ears to perk up and raise their hand so that they can fund your deals, whether it's a fix and flip opportunity that you're working on, or whether you're looking to build long-term wealth through buy and hold properties. You know, we're going to talk and we're going to, you know, just kind of go back and forth on private money and how you can put that capital and other people's capital to work in your business. And then how to exit out and get your private lenders paid so that they're hungry and they want to continue coming back to you, lending you their capital. So, you know, everybody knows the importance of leverage. And so that's one of the things that we're going to be discussing here in the masterclass. So let's just hop right into it. I think you're really going to enjoy this one. Hey, bro, what's up, everybody? Alex Pardo here. Thanks for joining us on another Flip Empire Masterclass here. I got a good buddy of mine, Doug Faith, that I've known for quite a while now. You know, years ago, he launched a product focused around, you know, student housing and how to target and, you know, and build a business working with, you know, basically college students that were looking for places to live. And he really made a name for himself. And, you know, I've kind of been following his career path here as an entrepreneur the last several years. And, you know, now he's gotten to the point where he's doing big development projects, and he's an expert in a lot of different areas in real estate that I know you guys are going to get a lot of value and content from what he shares and provides to us today. But one of the things that we're going to be really focusing our conversation on is raising private money. And we're probably going to get into some of the development stuff as well, because what I want to do is I want to open your eyes to what's possible in this business. You know, you guys know that if you've been listening to the show for any length of time now, that I'm a big fan of wholesaling. I strongly believe that regardless of, you know, what level of experience you have in this business, wholesaling should always be at the foundation, at the core, because of all the benefits it can do for you. But I think the long-term vision, at least in my opinion, is, you know, once you build and scale a wholesaling business that can generate a lot of cash for you and your family, what's the bigger play, right? Now, what can you do with that cash to really start building wealth in this business? And so I'm really excited about having Doug on and what we're going to be talking about here, because I know it can have a big impact in your business, either short term, depending on where you're at, or even long term, and just kind of, again, opening your eyes to what some of the possibilities are. So, Doug, brother, I know it's been a little bit of a challenge, man, getting you on this show. I appreciate you being patient with me, and it's glad to finally connect with, I'm glad to finally connect with you here.
Likewise, man. It's, I'm excited to be on as well, and glad we finally were able to, you know, lock down a time and do this.
Yeah, man, definitely. And I know, guys, you know, just so you know, Doug is expecting a baby girl like any day now. So, you know, I highly doubt that would happen, you know, that you have to rush to the hospital in the middle of this podcast interview. But, God, you know, if anything does happen, man, just hang up and we can wrap this up some other time.
Absolutely. I'll definitely let you know, because I will have to do that if that happens. But as you said, I think we'll be good here for the next, you know, 30 minutes or so.
Yeah. Awesome, man. So, brothers, for the people that may not know who you are, maybe if you can just kind of give us a little bit of an intro here, fill in the gaps in terms of, you know, how you got started in this business. And then if you can kind of give us, you know, a 30,000 foot view of what your business looks like today.
Yeah, sure. So I got started in the real estate business actually when I was in college. And, you know, I had read a lot of books, went to a lot of seminars about getting started, and then ended up, you know, finding some mentors that were doing exactly what it was that I wanted to do. And that was really how I got to learn hands-on the investment business. And then for the last 10 years, I've been investing and developing real estate, started out with like single family low-income housing, got into student housing, and then got into, you know, apartment projects. And then as I started getting into larger projects, started a private lending company to fund other investors and developers for some of their projects as well. So right now, today, I've got really two main businesses, the private lending company that I have a partner in, and then I have the development company where I have another partner for the development company.
Got it. So I'm assuming, would you say that the private money is what really allowed you to get into the development game? Or what was, if somebody's listening in, maybe if you could talk a little bit about, you know, what private money can do for somebody in their business if they're looking to, you know, build wealth long term in this business? Because like I talked about, there's a lot of people that listen in the show that have a wholesaling business. And, you know, once you kind of get to scale, it's like, what can we do with a lot of the profits that we generate in our business and put them towards larger projects, but also leveraging, you know, other people's private money? If you could talk a little bit about, you know, what that can do for your business, and then we can get into, you know, how do you go about connecting and finding these private lenders, especially if you don't have any experience in terms of, you know, whether it be developing a property or whether it be buying, you know, for long-term wealth, buying holds, et cetera.
Yeah. So that's a great question. And it's actually interesting, Alex, that a lot of our clients are wholesale, because at the end of the day, you've got to be finding great deals, right? And as you know, as a wholesaler, you're coming across a lot of deal flow. And so what we found is a lot of our clients are wholesalers where they're wholesaling deals, but then when they come across, you know, the deals that are the best, they're holding on to one or two of those that they can then go ahead and, you know, do a fix and flip with, or at least acquire it, renovate it, and then maybe hold as a, you know, in their portfolio going back to the building wealth piece.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, no, absolutely, man. So what, how did you get started with private money? I mean, did you get started by just taking a lot of the cash that you were generating from your wholesaling business, and then you bought your first property? You may have done a fix and flip, or you may have kept it as a rental. Or early on in your career, did you start focusing on connecting with private money lenders?
Yeah, so I started connecting with private money right away, because I started out investing when I was in college, and you know, I was a broke college student, so I didn't really have any money. So from the get-go, you know, I was out there, you know, raising private money, both as debt as well as equity. And that was really how I started in portfolio. You know, initially I was solely really buy and hold guy, cash flow guy, and that still is my main focus and has always been my main focus. So again, I was raising private money for debt as well as for equity to be able to take down properties, renovate those properties, have them produce income. And once they were rented and stabilized, I would then go to the bank, get a, you know, conventional mortgage to refinance and pay back my private money investors, whether they were equity investors or debt investors. Okay. And that was pretty much the process that I've been doing for the last 10 years, and still, you know, look to structure the deals that way. And then, you know, especially in the apartment market, pricing has gotten so crazy.
Yeah, I know.
That it became harder and harder to find good deals. And so as a result, that's sort of where the private lending company opportunity came about, because we felt that there was, you know, an opportunity in the marketplace to step, because I was in those shoes, you know, as an investor, as a developer. And when you're dealing with banks, you know, it's taken 60 days to close, you know, sometimes longer than that. And, you know, as you know, in the wholesale business, it's like when you've got a, you know, a good deal, like you've got to move, you know, quickly on that. So sort of backed into the private lending business. I'll certainly say when I first started, you know, 12 years ago, I wouldn't say I had an intention or expectation to get into that. But, you know, you live and you learn, right? So, I mean, we did property management in-house for 10 years. We did construction management in-house for 10 years. And at the end of the day, for me personally, I'm a finance guy and a deal guy. And so it's been real great the last couple of years, both on the lending side as well as on the development side, to be able to restructure those businesses so that I can focus more on sort of roles where I'm able to focus on my unique ability.
Got it. Yeah. And I love the fact that you kind of ended there with focusing on unique ability. And that's one of the things that we've talked about on previous shows is, you know, you have to be self-aware enough to know what you bring to the table. What are your strengths? And, you know, you got to, in my opinion, it's not so much focusing on the weaknesses per se, but really doubling down on your strengths. You know, ask yourself, go through a process and an exercise and figure out, you know, what's my unique ability? What's the God-given talent I have? What do I bring to the table? And then again, I think it's really, to use a blackjack term, is doubling down on that. So I love the fact that you ended with that. Now, let's kind of boil this down into practical steps for somebody that's never raised private money before. And I know this is a loaded question, and there's courses and seminars just on this topic alone. But if you can kind of give us, you know, what are some practical steps that people can take to generate and start raising private capital for potential buy and hold opportunities, or even if somebody's at the point where they want to start to develop properties?
So I think the biggest or the number one thing, and this is what I did and it worked for me and it's worked for a lot of other students, is you need to be clear on your strategy and types of deals that you're doing. Even if you haven't done a deal before, okay, so this applies if you're a brand new investor or even if you're an experienced investor and you have a portfolio and track record that you can reflect back on. It actually makes it a little bit easier if you have that. But even if you don't, like, you need to know what your strategy is and the types of deals that you're going to be buying. Because if you know the types of deals that you're going to be buying, you can actually create just sort of a one-page outline about the typical deal that you do, right? And then you can, if you're an experienced investor and have done deals in the past, you can use real life examples of that, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what you can use to kind of go out there as you're talking with investors, meeting with capital investors, to say, hey, these are the types of deals that I'm doing. Is this something that, you know, would be of interest to you? If so, I can add you to my list. And when we have a specific deal, I'll obviously send you the specific deals with the specific numbers. And and literally something as simple as that is how, you know, I started without any experience and, you know, was able to go out and raise private capital.
Okay, got it. Now, but how do you approach a private lender? So let's kind of rewind to, I guess, when you started raising private capital, you had already been doing deals, right?
I'd done a couple of deals. Yep, correct.
Okay, so that's actually perfect. So I think the same would apply, because what I'd like to really kind of target in and hone in on is, if somebody's listening in and they've never done a deal and they know that, you know, they're in the process of, let's say, getting their wholesaling business off the ground, or they're just, look, you know, they know that buy and hold is kind of their strategy. That's what they want to focus on. Somebody that might not have a track record, in other words, how do you, first of all, where do you locate potential private lenders? And then once you find these people, how do you kind of get your foot in the door and have conversations with them about what you are working on in your business as you get it off the ground?
Yeah. So in terms of finding private lenders, I mean, you want to be going to, you know, it comes down to networking, right? So you want to be going to real estate related events where there are other real estate investors, because that's where you're going to find people that are sort of operating businesses, which you are, right? You're an operator. But you're also going to find people there that have capital that are looking to connect with real estate operators like yourself. And so really, again, just by going to events, whether it be RIAs, your local real estate community, you know, meetup, you know, any opportunities like that. Another great place too is a lot of the retirement, the self-directed retirement companies like CamaPlan, Equity Trust, like they have annual events there. That's another great place to meet and connect with investors that have capital that are looking to invest.
That's a great suggestion, by the way, man. I hadn't thought about that one. I like that a lot because I know that Equity Trust, that's where I have a self-directed, like a SEP. And I never thought about that, but every once in a while I get emails from different events that they're putting on. And that's an awesome tip right there, man.
Yeah. And that relates back to, again, the first thing that I said in terms of, you know, being clear on your strategy and your plan so that when you're at these events, you intelligently about what you're doing or what you're planning on doing. Because when you're able to talk intelligently about your plan and communicate that and the types of deals that you're doing for a sophisticated investor, that's going to make sense. They're going to say, okay, here's someone that whether they've done a deal or not, they have a plan, they have an outline. And that's going to be go a long way to getting your foot in the door when you're raising capital.
Right. Now, Doug, man, I'm assuming when you initially approach a private lender, and this is, I'm talking about somebody that you might not have a relationship with. So it's kind of a cold call, but like you just, you know, you don't have rapport. You haven't built that relationship with them. I'm assuming you're not asking these people to marry you like on the first date, that you're more kind of, you know, do you have, I guess, like a quick 15, 30 second elevator pitch that kind of perks up their ears and tells them how what you do could be a benefit to them and then potentially set up a meeting with them to get into the particulars? Or what's kind of your approach when it comes to somebody that you've identified as a potential lender, but somebody that you haven't built a relationship with yet?
Yeah. So that's a great question. And I don't have much of a sales pitch initially. Like you want to be the one asking questions, right? So rather than saying, hey, I can get you this return or that return, like you really want to be asking that capital investor, what are your goals with your capital? Right. So that's one of the things that I always do that I think, you know, sets me apart in those conversations because they're used to getting pitched by saying, hey, I have this deal, I have that. Before I even get into a deal with them, you know, it's Alex, let's say you were the capital investor. It's like, okay, Alex, you know, we're meeting at some event here. Great. You know, I'm a real estate investor. You know, I do fix and flips. You know, can you tell me more about, you know, your goals? What brings you to this event? And you'll say whatever it is that you're going to say. You want to be asking questions. It's, oh, I have some capital. I'm looking to invest. Okay, great. Well, Alex, can you give me an idea? How have you been investing that capital to date? You know, what kind of return have you been getting? Have you been satisfied with the return? Because when you ask those questions based on how you answer that, I'm going to know before I even say what I can do or not, it's going to be a fit. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. It's perfect sense. And how do you typically, so somebody raises their hand and they're ready to invest capital with you, let's say on a fix and flip project, or it could be a buy and hold. I'm assuming you structure the terms different depending on what your exit strategy is. Like, let's say it's a fix and flip versus a buy and hold. And if you can kind of get into, you know, if somebody's going to raise capital for a fix and flip opportunity, how do you recommend structuring those terms? Because obviously there's different ways to, you know, to do that. And then for buy and hold, what's kind of been your approach as far as the terms and how you structure the deal?
So,
I know I threw a lot at you there, man.
Right. So I'm trying to think of me because, you know, it depends. Is that debt that we're raising? Is it equity that we're raising? Let's just call it. Let's go into both scenarios real quick. Right. So at the end of the day, if I've had a conversation with them, I've explained just kind of high level the terms that we're offering. And if that's something that they're agreeable to, I then want to send them the legal docs for their review. Right. So if it's debt that I'm raising, I'm going to send them, you know, a mortgage and a promissory note for them to review. So in other words, before I'm even sending them a deal, I want to send them the legal paperwork so that if they have any questions, we can ask about that and I can make sure that they're comfortable with that. Yep. I want to be able to get any objections or anything that's going to come up out of the way so that once we're past that, once we have a deal, like they already know what to expect. They know what docs they're going to sign. Obviously I need to send them the specific numbers on that deal, but everything else is ready to go. So it'd be a mortgage and a note for a debt investor. And if it's an equity participation, you know, we'd send them either an operating agreement for that LLC, a limited partnership agreement for a limited partnership, again, for them to review and look at and for us to discuss how that entity is going to operate. Questions out on the table, have them feel comfortable, and then go on.
Got it. What about interest rate that you typically pay your lenders, and is it interest only? Do you pay it, you know, month to month versus on the back end? Like, what about in terms of the actual, the numbers and the terms that you work out with your lenders?
Yeah, so typically it's a 10% return that we pay out to investors. And in terms of how that gets paid out, it varies. In some cases it's monthly, in some cases it's twice a year, in some cases it's annually. And it's going to depend on a couple of things. One, it's going to depend on the investor's preferences, as well as, you know, where we're placing that capital. Are we placing that capital into our, you know, private lending company to fund other investors? Are we using that capital for our own development projects? So it's going to depend on a few different scenarios when the interest payments get paid out.
Got it. So for somebody that's looking to raise capital, let's say for a buy and hold, how would you recommend they structure the terms? Let's say somebody, let's go with two different scenarios. Let's say there's, you know, there's a mom and pop that they have a bunch of money. They have 50, 100 grand, whatever it might be, sitting in a Chase bank account in a money market earning 0.00% or whatever it might be. And they agree to pay them 10%. If it's going to be a long-term strategy for them where they plan on holding the property for several years, how would you recommend they structure a deal like that? Assuming that, you know, John and Mary, Joe, or whatever their names are, you know, they don't need the capital right away. Like, they just want income on that money.
Sure. So how I would structure that, if I was the operator here raising the money with them and paying them the 10% on that, I would, if I could, I would look to structure it where I'm going to pay them the 10%, but that interest is going to get paid to them once the property is stabilized and rented, or once I've been able to refinance with a conventional mortgage. Because obviously when you're in development and in the middle of construction, you don't have any money coming in. You only have money going out, right? So if you're able to work it out where you can defer the interest payment until once you have a tenant in there, it'd be advantageous to you to do so. And then what I would look to do is, as soon as the property is rented and stabilized, I would want to go to the bank and, you know, go ahead and get a loan for 5% instead of paying 10%, so I could refinance them. I now have long-term debt on the asset. I have equity in the asset, free cash flow. And now that I've given the money back to them, guess what they're going to want to do? They're going to want to go out. They're going to want to have that redeployed again. So now it's time to find another deal. And that's, you know, how you can really build your portfolio.
Got it. And are you refinancing these properties with a conventional mortgage in your own name, Doug?
No, it's all in a business entity. So when I say conventional mortgage, it's probably the wrong term because they're all commercial mortgages that I'm getting. It's all investment stuff in a business entity.
Okay, got it. That makes sense, man. One question that like, you know, like if I'm listening in and I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about, you know, if somebody is kind of coming from a place of I've never done this before, like, you know, they're kind of fearful. What are some of the objections that you've heard from private lenders? And then what are some of the, you know, like, how do you handle those objections?
So you're asking, what are some of the objections that a private lender would have?
Correct. Yeah. So you meet with somebody and you know, they've raised their hand, they're interested. What are some of the common objections you've heard? I mean, you know, for example, I know one objection that I've personally heard is, well, look, I don't know you, you know, like this was kind of a, you know, I was referred, but I didn't know this person. I'd never built a relationship with them. Is, you know, how do I know you're not going to just take my money and run? And I'm shooting from the hip here, but just any common objections that you've heard, or have you found that it's just kind of more in the way that you present the opportunity?
Well, it's both. I mean, definitely how you present the opportunity is going to make a difference, but people are still going to have objections, right? So in the case where, hey, what if, you know, I go ahead and, or, you know, if someone's concerned about you running away with their money, you know, there's a couple things that I would respond to that. One could be, well, okay, well, why don't we start with a smaller investment that would make you a little bit more comfortable, right? Is one. The other is, well, you can personally guarantee it, right? This way, if I run away, you still have my personal guarantee and whatever other assets I have, like you can go after that. So those would be just two ways off the top of my head that I would look to sort of deal with that objection. And then the other objection too can be, especially if you're a new investor, well, you haven't done any deals before, or what kind of experience do you have? And if that's the case, you know, you really want to show them, especially if you've done wholesale deals, like whatever you've done, you want to build credibility. So even though maybe you haven't done fix and flip, if you've developed an ability to acquire deals at discount at a good price, like show them that, right? You know, if you've been, you know, a student and right, like learning from Alex and someone like himself, like you want to share your credentials in terms of, while I may not have experience, you know, the mentor that I'm working with or the coach that I'm working with, however many deals, you know, I'm learning from the best.
Yeah. But yeah, man, no, I 100% agree with you. I mean, that's that, you know, eventually if you don't have any experience and you haven't built a track record yet, I love what you said there about if you're working with a mentor, if you're working with somebody, like make sure you use everything you have at your disposal. That's an advantage to you. And when you build that relationship with them, you know, you want to make sure that you share that with them. And then eventually, once you start closing some deals, you definitely want to be collecting testimonials from people that you work with. And, you know, one of the things that I did early on was I built a credibility kit, you know, very simple deals that I've closed, how I found these deals, testimonials. Back then it was written testimonials. These days it's so much better to get a video testimonial. And once you start to accumulate a lot of that credibility, it becomes a lot more natural and easy to attract and land these private lenders to fund your deals, because you know you have that track record. But I don't want you to feel like if you're sitting here listening to this and you haven't done your first deal, or maybe you've done a couple of deals and you don't have, you know, you don't have that track record, don't feel like this can't be done, because it absolutely can be done. It's just a matter of getting in front of people, networking, and telling, you know, talking to people about what some of the opportunities are with what you do and how you can generate money for them, especially if they have capital under a mattress or just sitting in an account. A lot of people don't even know that they can lend money on real estate through their IRA, you know, their self-directed IRA. So I think a lot of this, Doug, has to do with, especially if you're dealing with a mom and pop, just kind of educating them on the process and making them feel comfortable.
That's exactly right. People just want to feel comfortable.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, brother, and we'll kind of wind down here with a couple questions here. What's you and I, you're how old are you, man? Because I think we're about the same age, more or less, right?
Yeah, I'm 34.
Okay, so 30. So rewind the clock 10, 15 years. What's the one piece of advice you'd give the 20 or 25 year old Doug Faith? Like, what's the one thing, knowing what you know now, you'd say, hey man, this is what I want to share with you, and this is going to save you a lot of time. It's going to save you a lot of money. This could be something very general. Just, it could be a life principle, or it could be something specific to business. I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but I'm always curious to kind of hear people's response to this question.
I think the biggest thing is surround yourself with people that are going to take you to the next level. And again, in particular, if there's something that you know that you want to do, like go out, find someone or people that are doing it, learn from them, work with them. It's just going to accelerate your success tremendously.
Yeah. 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 It's so true, man. And that's why I'm such a huge fan of masterminds. I'm a huge fan of, you know, one of the biggest mistakes I made early on was, I didn't hire a mentor and a coach. It was like 2 years into the business. And I can't tell you how much money I lost and how much just, you know, headaches I had that could have been shortcutted if I would have had somebody in my corner that's walked that path. So, you know, life is, it's interesting, man. It's sometimes people tend to complicate it, but think about your why, think about what you really want, and then find somebody that has been there, done that. And see how you can add value to them, and see how you can potentially get that person to mentor you. Because, you know, we don't need to get into a long conversation about the importance of mentoring, but I don't know anybody successful that's accomplished anything worthwhile that doesn't have a coach or a mentor on their side. So, we're on the same page there, man.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely.
Brother, so how can we connect with you, man, and reach out to you if anybody's interested in potentially working with you? Maybe somebody has capital and they want to put it to work with you, or just kind of find out more about, you know, what it is that you have going on in your market. Where's the best place that people can reach out and connect with you?
Yeah, the best place is probably our lending website, which is just Legacy Capital. PA as in Pennsylvania. So legacycapitalpa.com.
Okay.
And awesome, if you go on there, you can see my contact info or fill out a form and get in touch with me that way.
Fantastic, brother. Well, man, it's exciting times for you. I know you have you got a baby girl coming any day now. So as soon as that happens, brother, make sure to send me some pics, man. And and I'm looking forward to hearing all about it, man. I'm excited for you and your family.
Absolutely. Thanks, Alex. I appreciate it.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, hey, everybody, I look forward to catching you on the next Masterclass show. And all the resources, everything that Doug and I talked about today is going to be on the show notes page. If you have any questions, just make sure you comment there and I'll be happy to reply. So I look forward to catching you on the next show. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.